B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Chof. We're going to start approximately a quarter of the way down from the beginning of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Matzilin sal mole kikrois, afal pi sheyesh boi meos udois. We learned in a Mishnah previously that when somebody chas v'shalom, whose home is on fire, he's allowed to save mozoin gimel sudois. He's allowed to save as much food as he needs for the three meals of Shabbos. We saw that in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Omid Beis. And we've discussed, he's only allowed to save three meals. The Mishnah here is adding that if you have a single basket, a vessel, a utensil, that's full of loaves of bread, much more than you need for three meals, afal pi sheyesh bo meos udois, even though you have enough in that basket for 100 meals, since you're doing one activity, you're doing one act of carrying out, because they're all in one basket, then you're allowed to take out the whole basket with everything in it. Ve'igul shel devela, a cake made of dried figs, which typically would be much, much larger than you need for the three meals of Shabbos. Ve'chovyes shel yayin, or a whole barrel of wine, even though there's much more there than you need for the meals, since it's one piece, it's one cake, it's one barrel, you can carry it out. Va'omer la'achirim, the Mishnah continues, besides for what you yourself, whoever's home is burning, is allowed to save, you're allowed to tell other people, bo'u kam v'hitzilu lochem, and take what you need, it's all going to get burnt anyway. Take whatever you need. Vim hoyu pikhin, if they are wise, if they are sensible, then after Shabbos, they'll come and claim from him the pay for helping him carry and save the food, which means that he has to tell them, he's allowed to tell them, save it for yourself, it's going to get burnt anyway, take what you want. Afterwards, in the event that they're allowed to keep whatever they take, it's hefka. However, they're allowed to give it back to him, and when they give it back to him, they can say, but at least pay us for our labor. So if they are clever, they will ask for their money for their labor. And the Gemara is going to discuss this more. Continues the Mishnah. Leheichon matzilin oison. We saw previously that when it comes to saving Sifrei Kodesh, Sifrei Torah, you're allowed to save it to a Mavui. We had a Machlekes in the Mishnah, a Mavui Mefulosh, a Mavui She'enei Mefulosh. Here the Mishnah says regarding food items that it's very important to have three meals on Shabbos, but it's not as important or as pressing as saving a Sefer Torah from being burnt. And therefore, the leniencies that we had with saving a Sefer Torah, we do not have with saving food. So where are you allowed to take the food out to? L'chotzer hamu'urevis. From the home to a chotzer, a typical courtyard, and in a previous shir we explained this, that a chotzer is where you is a shared courtyard by a number of homeowners, and technically speaking it's Roshus HaYochid, but since it belongs to many Yechidim, you're only allowed to carry there if you make an Eruv, Eruv Echatzeris. How do you make an Eruv Echatzeris? All the people contribute to food that's placed in one home, and then it's as if all the people at the onset of Shabbos are residing in a single home, then it's as if the whole chotzer belongs and is an annex to a single home, and therefore everyone's allowed to carry to and in the chotzer. So the Tanakhama says that you're allowed to take out the food to a chotzer that has an Eruv. And we're going to see in the Gemara is going to ask that it's poshut, it's mutter to carry anything there, take out as much as you want. We'll see in the Gemara. Ben Basera says there's a special leniency here, afle she'eino mu'urevis, even though this chotzer does not have a ruvei chatzeris, nonetheless, one's allowed to carry the mozin gimel sudois or the sal, the basket, mole kikrois, full of loaves, from the burning house to the chotzer, even though it does not have an eruv. Continues the Mishnah. Ulashom moitzi kol klei tashmishay. Not only are you allowed to take out food, you're also allowed to take out any of your kalim, any utensils, any vessels that you need, tables, chairs, beds, anything you need to survive and to live on Shabbos, you're allowed to, or anything that's normal to use on Shabbos, you can take out. If a person had a very large wardrobe of clothes and he's afraid they're all going to get burnt, then he can wear as much as you can put on, any clothes, any amount of clothes, anything you can put on, you can wear, you can take out. Va'oitiv kol ma sheyochil. He should wrap himself with anything that he can. La'tiv kol ma sheyochil la'tiv, anything he can wrap himself with, and take it out. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi Oimer Yudches Kelim. Rabbi Yosi says you're allowed to save 18 different types of clothes, those that are typical to be worn even during the week. But more than that, you're not allowed to. According to Tanna Kamma, you can go out to the chotzer, remove the clothes you've put on, and then go back in the house and wear some more clothes and take them out that way. According to Rabbi Yosi, you're only allowed to take out 18 clothes and no more. And the Gemara is going to tell us what these 18 are. V'chozer v'loivish u'moitzi. He's allowed to go back in and put more clothes on and take them out. V'oimer, and he can tell people, v'oimer l'achirim, bo v'tzilu imi. Then, in contrast to the beginning of the Mishnah, where it says regarding taking out food, you're only allowed to take out mozin gimel sudois, the three meals, not more. If others are going to save food, they have to save it, so to speak, for themselves. V'tzilu lochem. Over here, with the clothes, he's allowed to say, take it for me, and he's allowed to ask them to save, to wear the clothes and take them into the chotzer for himself, for him. These last words in the Mishnah, v'choyzer v'loivish v'moitzi v'oimer l'achirim bo'u v'tzilu imi, is obviously not following Rabbi Yosi, who says you're only allowed to save 18 kelim. It's obviously a continuation of the Tanna Kamma. Says the Gemara, v'ha tana le reisha gimel sudais. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, you're only allowed to save three meals, as much food as you need for the three meals. How can the Mishnah say here that you can save a basket, even if there's a loaves in there for 100 meals? V'sulai, not allowed to, the Mishnah says, take more than three, and it's contradicting our Mishnah. Omer v'huna loy kashir. Rav Huna says it's not a contradiction. In the case where in our Mishnah here, where it says you're allowed to save even a basket with many loaves in, b'bol lehatzil, if your only focus is saving what you have in front of you from the fire, you have a single basket in front of you, and all you're doing is carrying out with a single activity, then you're allowed to do that, even if inside this basket there's enough food for 100 meals. Can, however, the Mishnah before that says you're only allowed to save three meals, is b'bole kapil, is if you haven't just got one basket, you're not only focused on removing something that's in front of you from the home. Besides for that, you're also busy lekapil, to combine. You're putting it together. You're going here and taking one loaf, and here going, taking one loaf, here taking a bottle of wine. You're going round and you're being active in collecting. You're doing much more effort in saving what you need for the three meals, and you're not carrying out a single bag. You're carrying out a whole load of bags. You're going out with one loaf, you're coming back in, taking another loaf, going back out, till you get everything you need together for the three meals. It's going in and out and in and out. It's a lot of effort, and therefore you're only allowed to do that for what you need for the three meals. Bolahatzil, if all you're doing is, you're not collecting anything, you're not putting anything together, combining anything, all you're doing is taking it out. Matzil is kulon, you can save from the fire everything you have in front of you. Bole kapil, if you're coming to combine, einim kapil elamozin gimel sudais, you're only allowed to collect what you need for three meals. Rab Abba bar Zavda Omarav, said in the name of Rav, idi v'idi bebole kapil. Both the previous Mishnah and our Mishnah are talking about when he's bo le kapil, when he has to combine and put it together. And nonetheless, in the previous Mishnah it says you can only do it for three meals, and here it says you can do it even if the basket has enough loaves for 100 meals. V'lo kashya, it's not a contradiction. Kan lo'oysa chotzer. Over here, it's much less effort. We're talking about taking it from this home that's burning to the same chotzer that's annexed to this home. It's not so much effort, and therefore you can take out even a basket full of loaves. Can, the Mishnah before, is lechotzer acheres, you're taking out to a chotzer, to a yard that's further away, and even though it might be mutter to do it, you're allowed to carry there. He's not infringing on the halachas of Shabbos necessarily, but it's much more effort, and therefore we do not allow him to do that for more than three meals. Continues the Gemara. And till now, we've seen two cases. We've seen a case called lehatzil, and we've seen a case called lekapil. Lehatzil means I have everything in front of me, I'm doing one activity of removing it from the burning area. The other example is Lekapel, is where I have to go around and do, so to speak, many trips from the house to the yard to the chotzer to save what I need to save. Now we're going to ask an intermediate case, a middle case, where you have to combine it in the home, and as if to say you're spending a lot of effort getting the 100 loaves together and putting them into a single basket. But now that they're all in the basket, it's a single activity of removing the basket from the home. Do we say that's called lekapil? Do we say it's called lehatzil? Boyer v'hunah breider Yeshua. Pirish talisoy, if he spread out his talis, his garment, the kipil, and he collected, he combined all the food he needs, even for more than three meals, and put it into the talis, v'hiniach, and he put it into the talis, the kipil, v'hiniach, and he collected more, and he collected more, and he put it all into the same talis. And now he's removing this talis and taking it out all at once. My, what's the halacha? Kabola hatzil domi, is it compared to because when you're actually taking it out of the house, you're doing a single activity similar to the cell mentioned in our Mishnah. Or is it compared to having to combine and collect many food items, which is much more effort, and you're only allowed to do that with three meals? And obviously this question is only applicable according to the first answer, according to how Rav Unna explained that there's a difference between whether it's lehatzil or lekapil. Says the Gemara, I'll prove to you that it's muta. It's considered one kli and you're allowed to do it. Mid Omar Rava. Rava said, Atayo Rav Shizbi l'Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda made a mistake when he said the following to Rav Chizda, v'dorash, and he taught as follows. Ubilvad shelo yovi kli shu marzik yeseh megimel sudais. We mentioned before, on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Omad Beis, what happens if somebody's barrel, a barrel of wine, nishbaro lo yichovis boreish gaga, on his roof, a barrel of wine broke, then we saw there, you're allowed to take a kli, another vessel, another utensil, and put it underneath the broken barrel. Uvilvad shelo yovi kli achi, you're not allowed to bring another utensil, the yikloit, and catch the wine that's pouring off the roof, kli achir, nor are you allowed to bring another kli, v'yitzarif, and put it level to the edge of the roof to let the wine that's already dripped onto the roof flow into this kli. You're not allowed to do that. That's what we saw before. And in response to that, Rav Shizbi said to Rav Chizda, "Ubilvad shelo yovi kli shumachzik yeseh megimel sudais." The kli that you're using to put underneath the barrel to collect the wine has got to be a kli that will not collect more than the amount you need for the three meals on Shabbos. Shma mino, kibol lehatzil domi. Over there, we're talking about a case where what you're saving, what will be saved will then be saved in a single kli. But it's not as if it's all already present in the single kli. It's dripping into it bit by bit. That's compared to lekapil. You have to combine the food or the wine from many different areas, many drips that are dripping out of this barrel, into a single barrel, into a single kli, and then you're going to take out and rescue whatever's in this kli. And since we see there that Rav Shizbi said you're not allowed to use a kli, Rav Shizbi said you're not allowed to use a kli that's larger than what you need for the three meals. Rava said that was a mistake, and Rav Shizbi wasn't right. So Rava holds you're allowed to take even a much bigger kli. So you see that Rava understood that even though it's compared to, there's a stage of combining, but since it's all collecting in one kli, you're allowed to save it even though it's more than Gimel Sudais. So Shma Mino, Kabo Lehatzil Domi, so we see that it's compared to Bo Lehatzil that we mentioned before, V'Shaper Domi, and it's Mutter. Omele Rav Nachman Bayitzchok L'Rova, Rav Nachman Bayitzchok said to Rova, Mai Tu'usa, how do you know it was a mistake? Maybe he's right, you're only allowed to use a kli that can save up to as much wine as you need for the three sudais. Omer Le, Diktoni, because we saw over there in the Braisa, Ubilvad Shelo Yovi Kli Achir, v'yikloit, you're not allowed to bring another kli and catch the wine falling off the roof. Kli acher v'yitzarif, and you're not allowed to bring another kli and hold it level to the roof for the wine to drip into it. Kli acher hu deloy, you're not allowed to bring another kli in order to be yikloit or yitzarif. Aval bahu mono, But with that vessel that you're using to put under the broken barrel to catch the wine, come with the boimatzil. There the Braisa doesn't say there's any limitation. There it can be as much as you want. Even though it's not already all together, it's dripping into this kli, it's considered of kipel v'hiniach, kipel v'hiniach, and it's mutter, and because the halacha of kipel v'hiniach is similar to bo'al hatzil, and even if it's got in it enough for me'o sudois, Yohan's allowed to save it. Continues the Gemara. V'igul sheld veila v'chovius sheld yayin. We saw in the Mishnah, v'goymer v'chulu, etc. And we saw in the Mishnah that you can tell others, hitzilu lochem, everything's getting burnt, save for yourselves whatever you want. V'im hel you pick him, if they are wise, oisini moichez b'nachar ha-Shabbos, after Shabbos, they'll come to the owner and say, pay us for our labor. Now the Gemara is going to discuss here, we have to understand this, the situation. All the food that was in this house was at threat of being burnt. He said to them, Hitzilu lochem, which means it's hefka, and it could be that he wasn't really making the hefka with a good heart. But nonetheless, he knows it's all going to be burnt anyway. He might as well let people take it, let them enjoy it, let them use it for their own Sudas Shabbos. Maybe they need it for their own Sudas Shabbos. There's a discussion whether in the Rishonim, whether if Acherim, if other people are saving food from his, but from somebody else's burning house, whether they also have the restriction of three Sudais or not. But that's a different discussion. Now, in the event that they keep the whatever they save, they keep it for themselves, they obviously cannot ask the owner of the burnt house to pay them for their labor. You've taken a tefka, take what you want. Now, in the event that they give it back to him, here there's a discussion. If there was arrangement likatchila, if he said to them on Shabbos, I want you to do work for me, to labor for me on Shabbos, and I'll pay you after Shabbos, that's called schar Shabbos. And one should not take reward, one should not take any schar, any payment for work done on Shabbos. So that we're going to see here in the Gemara, what's going on. Says the Gemara, cheshbin maya vidutei. You're saying if they're wise, they can come to him and make a cheshbon and ask for payment for their labor. Mefkira kazachu. They took it from Hefka. It was all going to be burnt. He told them, take it for yourselves. That means, and the Mishnah should have said, im impikhim, im hoyu pikhim, if they are sensible, then ya'akvu akil, Rashi says, they should, if you're sensible, everything you saved, you should keep for yourselves. Not if you're sensible, you should ask for labor. You cannot ask for labor unless you give back to the owner everything you saved. If they're sensible, since it was Hefka, keep what you took. Omer of Chizda, said, Midas Chasidus Shonukan. We're talking about here the people who are very pious, they have a Midas Chasidus, they did not want to keep the food that they saved from this poor person's house. His house burnt down. He was not allowed to save more than three meals. We were allowed to help him, so we saved it. Of course, we could have kept it for ourselves, but our Midas Chasidus, our piousness, does not allow us to keep it. We're giving it back. And that's what the Mishnah says, that if you give it back, then after Shabbos, if you're wise, then you can ask him to pay you. But Omar Rav Chizda says, Agro de Shabbat Shokli, is it appropriate, especially for people who are pious, to take reward, to take payment for work done on Shabbos? That's inappropriate for a chosid. Elo Omar Rava says, Hocha b'yirei shamayim oskinon. We're talking about not somebody who's on the high level of chasidus, where he's not only is he going to give back the food to the owner, he's not even going to ask for payment. We're talking about yirei shamayim. He's afraid that the person did not do hefka with a good heart, and therefore they did not want to rely on the hefka, they gave back what they saved, but at least to take payment. Now it's true that if the arrangement would have been, do labor and I'll pay you, it's osa. That's Schar Shabbos, that's osa. However, over here, that wasn't the arrangement. He said, save what you want. He didn't even talk about payment. Therefore, halachically speaking, it would be permitted to take payment because it's not called payment for labor that was prearranged. However, somebody who's a chosid, well, since it's similar, it smells like Schar Shabbos, at the end of the day, I'm taking money for labor I did on Shabbos, a chosid doesn't do that. A Yirei Shemaim says, no, I was allowed to keep it all myself. I have Yirei Shemaim, I'm giving it back to him. but I worked hard. And there's no issa because it was not a prearranged fee. It was not prearranged I was going to get paid for my labor. And therefore, I don't need to be mevat on that. I don't need to forego that. If I'm sensible, those Yerushalayim, then when the Mishnah says, how you pick him, it means if you are wise and you're knowledgeable enough to know that there's no issa to take payment because it's not the Schar Shabbos that's also because it was not prearranged, then you can go to the owner and ask him for payment. Even though he's not a chosid, but he's Yirei Shemaim, and he's not comfortable to take somebody else's food that he saved from his house. But he's not on the level, on the Madrega to work and just not get paid for it. And therefore, v'hochi ka'omar, and this is what the Mishnah, and this is what the Mishnah means. And these words, v'hochi ka'omar, apply both to Rav Chisda, who is talking about Chasidus, and both to Rav, who is talking about Yirei Shemaim, that it says, v'imo you pick him, if they were wise enough, to yodi that they know, t'chi ha'gavne lav schar Shabbosu, that this is not the prohibited payment for work on Shabbos, oisin imo yichesh ben lachar Shabbos, they're allowed to ask him after Shabbos, that we're giving you back the food, but at least pay us for our labor. Continues the Gemara. Ulaheichon matzilon, we saw in the Mishnah asked, to where are you allowed to save the whatever you're allowed to take out? And we saw, according to the Tanakama and to a Chotzer or Reves, and according to Ben Beseira, even to a Chotzer that does not have an Eruv. Asks the Gemara, and the Gemara is now going back to, I'm not sure why the Gemara starts with Lehechon Matzilon, but the Gemara means it's going right to the end where it says that he says Vehitzilu Immi. In contrast to what it says first, v'hitzilu lochem, as we pointed out when we learned the Mishnah, that if you want other people to help you save the food, you can tell them they can save it for themselves. But when it comes to clothes, he can say, hitzilu imi, save it for me. So the Gemara is now asking, ma'ishna hocha, why regarding food, the beginning of the Mishnah, diktoni lochem, it says that you can save it for yourselves, or ma'ishna hocha, but when it comes to the clothes, Diktoni imi, it says you can save it for me. Answers the Gemara, Omri, Gabi Mizoino is regarding food, Ktoni lochem, Mishum deloika chozu, elo mozin gimel sudais. A person does not eat more than three meals, so there's no use for it on Shabbos, and therefore there's no reason you should be allowed to save more than that. Aval Gabi levushim, but clothes, Ktoni imi, it says for me, Mishum de kachozi leilu kuliyoma, because he can wear different clothes right through the day. Clothes are suitable to be worn, as there's no limit to the amount of clothes that a person can wear on Shabbos, and therefore he says, save it for me. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Loivesh, Moitzi, Upoishet, V'choizer, V'loivesh, Umoitzi, Upoishet. A person is allowed to, and this is following the Tanakam in our Mishnah, he's allowed to wear clothes, go out, save the clothes, put them in the Chotzer, Upoishet, and remove the clothes, and then Choizer, V'loivesh, goes back in, wears more clothes, Umoitzi, comes out, Upoishet, he takes off the clothes, Afilu kolayim kulo, you can do that the whole day. Divi Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, as we saw in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says no. He says, Shmoina Oso Kalim, you're only allowed to remove over Shabbos 18 pieces of garments. Ve'eluhem, and they are Ve'eluhem Shmoina Oso Kalim. These are the garments you're allowed to save on Shabbos. These are the garments that are typically worn on any regular weekday. Maktoiron, a cloak, that's one. Two, ankuli, which is an outer coat. Three is a pudna, which is an outer belt. Four is kalvus, which is a type of vest, shalpishton, made of linen. Five is a chaluk, which is a shirt. Six is apilios, which is a type of a robe. Seven, ma'apoires, which is a kerchief, something that was put around his neck to wipe himself with. Eight and nine is shnei saparkin, which are leg bands. 10 and 11 is Shnei Min Olim, is two shoes. 12 and 13 is Shnei An Pilois, is two socks. 14, 15 is base Paragoid, which are leg coverings that cover till the knee. Number 16, V'chagor, is a belt. Shebemosnov, which is which is on his loins, 17 the koiva shebroishe, a hat on his head, and 18 is sudur shebetzavoroi, is a scarf around his neck. And that's, a person does not use more than that in any one day, and therefore Rabbi Yossi says you're only allowed to save those 18 clothes. Continues the next Mishnah. Reb Shimon ben Nanas Oimer, Poyrusin Oyer Shel Gedi, one's allowed to spread out the hide, the skin of a kid, which is very, this skin is typically very soft and moist, and therefore it does not burn. If fire comes to it, it will singe it, it will not burn it. And you're allowed to spread that Al-Gabi Shida onto a carriage, Teva onto a trunk, or Migdal, or onto a closet, She'ochaz Benaur, that a fire has got hold of it and is threatening to burn them. Mipnei Shu Mecharich, since this hide, this skin, does not burn, if you spread the skin on top of it, when the fire gets to the skin, it will singe it, but it will not burn it. It will stop the fire from burning the Shida, Teva, and Migdal. And Reb Shimon Benana says, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos, even though you may, at the end of the day, the fire is going to get extinguished because there's nothing more to burn. I am not causing it. I'm not doing an activity of extinguishing it. And I'm not even doing something that's causing it to get extinguished. All I'm doing is I'm depriving the fire from getting to any burnable, flammable material. And therefore it's mutter, says Reb Shimon ben Nanas. Continues the Mishnah. Va'oisin mechitza b'kol ha'kelim, one's allowed to make a partition using any vessels, bein melein, irrespective of whether they are full of water, bein reikonim, or if they are empty, b'shvil shelo yitavir adleika, in order that the fire will not penetrate and get past this partition, and that way you'll be saving anything that's on the other side of the partition for getting burnt. And it could be that these kelim, which are full of water, what's going to happen is the fire is going to come to them. They're not going to withstand the heat. They're going to crack. The water inside them is going to spill out and extinguish the fire. But according to the Tanakhama, that's okay. I didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with moving barrels of water. I'm allowed to put them there. The fact that it's going to cause, indirectly, but it's just causing extinguishing, according to the Tanakhama, they say it's muta. Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to do it. New earthenware kelim, which are full of water, there you're not allowed to put that those there up as a partition so the fire shouldn't penetrate to the other side, because they are not able to withstand the heat of the fire. They're going to crack, they're going to burst, and even though it's only a geirim, it's only causing the extinguishing of the flame, you're not actively extinguishing it, nonetheless Rabbi Yossi says that it's osa, and we're going to see later on exactly what the point of the argument is, where they're arguing. Says the Gemara, Omar of Yehuda Omar Rav, was said in the name of Rav, Talis she'ochaz bo ha'ur. If you had a talis, a cloak, a garment, a talis that the fires already got hold of it, mitzad echod, on one side of the talis, noisnin oleo mayim mitzad achir, you're allowed to pour water onto the other side of the talis. You're not allowed to chas v'shalom pour water onto the fire. That's extinguishing on Shabbos, that's osa. But you're allowed to soak the part of the talis that's not yet got fire on it, and that way, as the fire progresses to the wet part, the fire will get extinguished. Vim kovso, if it gets extinguished. You didn't extinguish it, it's mutar on Shabbos. Meisvi, there seems to be a question from this, from a braisa. Talis she'ochaz ba'ur mitzad echod. If the talis is burning on one side, poishto, you're allowed to unfold it. If it was folded up and this fire is started burning one side of it, since it's all folded up, the fire will creep between the folds and burn the whole talis. You're allowed to unfold the talis or miskaser and wrap yourself up with it, cover yourself with it. Be careful you don't get burnt. But you're allowed to do just normal things. As long as you're not actively going out of your way to actually extinguish the fire, you're allowed to do that. Or miskasibon, you can cover yourself with that talis. Vim kofso kofso, even though you know full well that once the talis is not folded up anymore, so there's not so much material for the fire to hold on to, and then it may well get extinguished. it's okay. If it gets extinguished, it gets extinguished. You didn't do it directly, it's mutar. V'chein sefer Torah, so to a sefer Torah she'ochas boya, or fire was burning part of it. Poishta, you're allowed to unroll it, v'koyre boy, and read from it. And you're not allowed to just unroll it and extinguish the fire. But you're allowed to go about using it in a normal way. Unroll the Sefer Torah. Like we said before, you can unfold the talis and wear it. You can unroll the Sefer Torah and read from it. And if it gets extinguished, then it gets extinguished. It's okay. You didn't do it directly and intentionally. So this is the question now. How can Rav say that if Ochaz Bayaur, you're allowed to actually put water onto the part of the talis that's not yet burning, and it's okay. Over here you see you're just allowed to unfold it and unroll the Sefer Torah, but you're not allowed to pour water on it, because just unfolding it, as we saw before with the Oyer Agadi, with the hide of the kid, that I'm not doing something that's actually going to extinguish it. I'm just making it more difficult for it to burn. However, adding water to it, I'm actually contributing to extinguishing it. I'm not doing it directly, I'm doing it indirectly. It's a groma, but it's a groma of kibui. So how can you, Rav, say you're allowed to pour water onto the talis? In the Braisa it says you're not allowed to do that. You're only allowed to unfold the talis. Says the Gemara, Hu de Omar Krib Shimon ben Nanas, what we saw before, that Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav that you're allowed to put water on, even though you're going to cause it indirectly to get extinguished, is following the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Nanas in our Mishnah that says that you're even allowed to make a mechitza b'kol ha'kelim bein melein bein rikonim, is pouring water on the part of the garment that's not yet burning is no different to putting vessels, new earthenware vessels full of water, in the way of the fire. The fire is going to then crack these vessels and the water is going to extinguish the fire. The Rav Shimon ben Nanas, not like Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi says it's asa. But according to Rav Shimon ben Nanas, who is the Tanakama of the Mishnah, says that not only are you allowed to put the Oyer Shel Gdi over the Shido Tevo Migdol, you're even allowed to put Kalim that are going to burst and pour water where the fire is. It's also Muta, and that's the opinion of Rav Yehuda Omarav that we saw here. The Braisa that says that you're not allowed to do it is obviously following Rav Yosi. Says the Gemara, who says that Reb Shimon ben Nanas in the Mishnah is the same as the case of Abiyud Amarav? Eimed de Omer Reb Shimon ben Nanas mipnei shu mecharich gram kibui mi Omer. The Gemara is asking that if you look carefully at the Mishnah, we added in a lot in the Mishnah, and I actually explained the Mishnah based on what the Gemara is about to answer. But if you look in the Mishnah itself, what does it say? Reb Shimon ben Nanas says explicitly, you're allowed to put the poirsin oyer shel gdi. You're allowed to cover the shido, the teva and the migdal with the hide of the kid, where you're not extinguishing the fire, you're just making it difficult for the fire to reach anything flammable. And that's compared to the Braisa that says that you're allowed to unfold the talis but not put water on it. How do we know that Reb Shimon allows even to use water? So how did we explain that? Because it says, "Va'oisin mechitza b'kol ha'kelim bein melein bein rekonin b'shvil shalitavei adleika." Since Reb Shimon ben Nanas, who's the Tanakam of the Mishnah, says you're allowed to use full kelim and empty kelim in order to prevent the fire from penetrating, so there you see you're allowed to do something that's going to extinguish the fire. Is that true? Did Reb Shimon ben Nanas say that? Maybe Reb Shimon ben Nanas only allowed using the type of kelim, even if they're full of water, but only allowed to use those kelim that are not going to crack. And therefore, you would have no proof from Reb Shimon ben Nanas that you're allowed to do something that's actually going to pour water where the fire is going to come to and extinguish the fire. Gram kibui, causing extinguishing. You don't see that explicitly in Reb Shimon ben Nanas. Says the Gemara, you're right. It doesn't say it explicitly, but from reading what Rabbi Yossi says, I can understand what he meant. From the fact that Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to use new earthenware kelim with water because they're going to crack, we can deduce from that that Reb Shimon ben Nanas, who says that you can use bekola kelim, any kelim, even though they're full, that he allows even using new earthenware kelim that are full of water, and we know they're going to crack, and nonetheless he says it's mutter. So you see that Rabbi Shimon ben Anna says gram kibui is mutter, and therefore we know that Rabbi Yehuda Marav has Rabbi Shimon ben Anna's to rely on. That's what the Gemara says. Yes, I have got proof from Rabbi Shimon ben Anna's, even though Rabbi Shimon ben Anna's explicitly only spoke about the putting on the hides of the gdi, which is mecharich, which just singes. But I also know that he allows gram kibui. How? Minik toni sefer, since it says in the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi oisir bekli cheres chadoshim mleim mayim she'enem yecholim lekabel esaur vehein mizbakin umechabin esad leikah. Since Rabbi Yosi says you're not allowed to use new earthenware kelim that are full of water, because they cannot withstand the heat of the fire. They're going to burst, and the water is going to extinguish the fire. And Rabbi Yosi says it's also mechlal. I can deduce from there that the Tanakama, which is Rabbi Shimon ben Anna's, sorry, he allows it, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda Marav, who allows you to pour water on the part of the talis that's not yet burning, is following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Anna's. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Neir she'al gabei tavlo. If you have a burning lamp on top of a board, and this board is lying wherever it's lying, on a table, on a surface, and he wants to move this, he wants to move, take away the board and move the lamp, Menayres a tavlo. He's allowed to just pull away the board, even though there's a lamp on it, and the lamp will fall, Vino Feles, the lamp will fall down, Vim Kofsa Kofsa. I didn't want it to extinguish, I didn't need it to extinguish, I didn't care if it extinguished, but I want the board, and I'm allowed to pull away the board. The lamp fell over and extinguished. Okay, that's fine. Omri debei Rav Yanai. Rav Yanai says, Lo yishanu elo b'sheicheach. It's only true if... That means it's true that we don't have an issue with what you're doing to the lamp, but we have a question. Are you allowed to actually move the board, irrespective of what's going to happen to the lamp? If the board is a bosses, if the board was mukta when Shabbos came in, why is it mukta? Because it was holding a burning lamp. Then if it was holding a burning lamp and it became a bosses ledovara osor, a base, when Shabbos came in for something that's muktzah, then it itself becomes muktzah and stays muktzah the whole Shabbos. You're not allowed to move the board, even if the lamp is already extinguished and the lamp is out now. But you're still not allowed to move the board. So it must be that this case is talking about that the board is not muktzah. How can it not be muktzah? It's holding a burning lamp. The answer is that when Shabbos came in, I didn't actually want this lamp on this board. I just forgot it there. I forgot I was going to take it away. I wasn't going to leave it there. Since I didn't want the lamp there intentionally when Shabbos came in, the board does not become a bosses. You're allowed to move the board. The only issue we have is if you move the board, you may extinguish the lamp. For that we saw here in the Braisa, that since I didn't want it, need it, or do it intentionally, it's mutter. It's only if you forgot the lamp on the board. Aval b'maniach, if you put it there intentionally, nase bosses ledovara osur, then this tavlo, this board, becomes a bosses, a base for something that's osur, and therefore it's mukta. Continues the Gemara. Tana neil shachire adelis. They used to have a lamp hanging or positioned behind a doorway. Poseach v'noil kedarkoi. You're allowed to open the door. You go in the room, out the room. As you're not busy trying to extinguish the lamp, you're going in and out. You're opening the door. You want some fresh air. It's totally legitimate. Vim kovsa kovsa. If it gets extinguished, it gets extinguished. It's okay. Layit alo rav. Layit is often translated as a curse. It may mean he just condemned. And this is not the first time that Rav is doing that. We had the Gemara on Daf Kufches Amud Aleph that Rav, he was layit in a number of other cases, but Rav, he condemned the people who were allowed to open and close the door. Omele Ravina Rav Acha Brei Derava. Ravina said to Rav Acha Brei Derava, or Omele Lo Rav Acha Brei Derava Lo Rav Ashi, Rav Acha Brei Derava said to Rav Ashi, My time alayit alo Rav. Why was Rav so condemning and so, what was his problem? Are you going to say that Rav follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says that even if you did not want to do the melacha, it was a davar she'enoy miskaven, you didn't intend to do the melacha, it's asa, and over here, since opening and closing the door is going to extinguish or may extinguish the lamp, even though you didn't want to do it. It's a davar she'eino miskaven, it's osa. So Rav held it was osa. That's okay. The Tana k'toni le'krib Shimon, but the Tana that says, the braisa that we started with that says, Neir shachir adeles b'seach v'noel k'darkoi, that will be following Rav Shimon, will hold like Rav Shimon. Is that what's going on here? Mishum de Rav sova like Rav Yehuda, just because Rav rules like Rav Yehuda, kol de toni k'rib Shimon meilet lightly? Anyone who holds like Rav Shimon, deserving of a curse or deserving of being condemned? That doesn't sound right. Omar le, so he answered him either Rav Ashi to Rav Achabrei de Rava or Rav Achabrei de Rava to Ravina, answered, Baha afil Rav Shimon Moida. The reason that Rav was Layit was because in this case, even Rav Shimon agrees it's Asa. Doha Abaya v'Rava de Omrit Harvayu, both Abaya and Rava maintain, and we've seen this a couple of times already in the Masechta, that they both hold Moida Rav Shimon b'psikreishu v'lo yomus. If the malacha that's going to be done is inevitable, like it's inevitable that when you cut off the head of an animal that it's going to die, then you can't say, Eina miskaven, I didn't intend to do it. Of course you intended to do it. If the activity you did was inevitably caused that outcome, then part of what you're doing is, so to speak, intentionally extinguishing this flame. And therefore, even Rav Shimon says that it's Asa. And therefore, Rav was Layit, he condemned those opinions. Those opinions either held, not like Abaya v'Rava, they held that Rav Shimon says it's Mutter, even if it's Psikresha, or maybe they held, the Tana of the Braisa held, that it's not Psikresha. Opening and closing the door does not inevitably cause the flame to go out, and therefore, if it's not Psikresha, they're following Rav Shimon. But Rav held that even Rav Shimon says it's Asa, and therefore he condemned those that said it was Muta. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Yehuda, Piseach Odom Deles Keneged Medura B'Shabbos. Here we're talking again about Goyrim, where you're just causing something to happen, something that if you would do it actively and intentionally, it would be a Malacha. But since I'm not doing it directly, it's just a cause, therefore it's a Goyrim. But till now we were talking about Gram Kibui, causing a fire to get extinguished. Now we're talking about a gram of making a fire, of helping a fire burn better. You know that a fire burns better if we fan the flames. Are you allowed to open the door and let the breeze come in, and the breeze is going to fan the flames? So it says that Rav Yehuda, Peseach Adam Deles, you're allowed to open the door, Keneged Madura, even opposite the fireplace, B'Shabbos on Shabbos, even though the breeze is going to come in and fan the flames. Layit alo Abaya. Abaya condemned Rav Yehuda for this ruling. Says the Gemara b'mayoskinon. Let's try and understand what we're talking about. Are we talking about beruach mitzuya, just a regular common breeze? My tam demand osar. Why did Abaya condemn it? Why is it osar? It's not a normal way of fanning a flame with this regular breeze. I beruach she'eina mitzuya. If we're talking about that it was a very strong gust of wind, which is a type of wind where one would use that type of force to fan the flame, then my tam demand a shori. Then why indeed does Rav Yehuda say that it's muta? You're opening the door and you're causing the flames to get fanned. You're causing the flames to get stronger and bigger. Says the Gemara, lo'olam beruach mitzuya. The truth is we're talking about a regular wind. And it's not really a normal way of fanning the flames, therefore it should be mutter. Marasovar Grozrinon, Abaya says that the Chachomim decreed that one should not even fan the flames or allow the flames to be fanned with a regular breeze. Or Marasovar, if you would hold Legozrinon, since it's not a normal way of fanning a flame, you're allowed to open the door, and if the flames get fanned, it's okay and it's mutter. Continues the Gemara. Oysin Mechitza Chulei. We saw in the Mishnah, the Tanakama holds that we know it's Shimon, Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, holds that one is allowed to make a partition using any type of vessels, even though some of them are filled with water, even though some of them are earthenware and new, and it's quite clear that they may possibly crack and burst, the water will spill out of them and extinguish the fire. Nonetheless, it's muta, it's called Gram Kibui. I didn't directly extinguish a flame which is osa. I caused the flame to get extinguished. Indirectly, it's muta. So in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, no, Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to use those new earthenware vessels full of water because gram kibui is osur. That's how we assume is the explanation in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Lememra, are you suggesting the Rabbonon Sovri, the Tanakama, Reb Shimon ben Nanas holds gram kibui mutar, that to just cause extinguishing, but you're not doing it directly, is mutar, Reb Yosi Sovar gram kibui osur, and Reb Yosi holds that even though you're not directly extinguishing the flame, you're just doing groma, it's just causing it, it's osur. Says the Gemara, V'ho'ipcha shominon lo. We assume there's a brisa that seems to say something which feels the opposite. D'tanya, Oisin mechitza bekelim reikonim ubemaleim she'ein darkon nishabir. The Tanakama in the brisa hold that you're allowed to make a partition with any kelim on condition that they are not going to break. There's no reason to suspect that they're going to break. Ve'elu memalin she'ein darkom nishtabir. What type of kelim are not going to break typically? Klei matchis, metal kelim. You're allowed to use them as a partition. So in contrast to the Tanakama in our Mishnah that says you can use any kelim, the Tanakama here says that you can use only kelim of metal that are not going to crack. Reb Yosi says, af kli kfar shichin ukfar chananya ein darkon ishtabir. Reb Yosi says that even those earthenware kelim made in kfar shichin and in Kfar Chananya, they are also strong, and they also will not break. So the truth is that we have, and the Gemara is going to address this later, Tosfos discusses at the end of the Amud, we have a contradiction in, the Mishnah is asking, Ipcha, that there's a Ipcha Shaminon Lu. What's the Ipcha here? Ipcha means it's opposite. So Rashi and Tosfos explain, whereas in our Mishnah, the Tanakama were more makel, were more lenient. Rabbi Yosi is more machmir, was more stringent. In this brisa, it's the other way around. The Tanakama are being more stringent. They only allow you to use metal kelim. Rabbi Yosi is being more lenient and saying you're even allowed to use kelim that are not metal, providing that we assume that they're not going to smash. Now, we still have an issue here that besides the fact that the relativity between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi, who's more stringent, who's more makel, it's an opposite. But even more than that, we have a contradiction in the Tanakama themselves. The Tanakama in the Mishnah seem to say that gram kibui is mutter, and over here in the Brisa it seems to say that gram kibui is osur. Rabbi Yosi in the Mishnah says gram kibui is osur. Rabbi Yosi here also holds gram kibui is osur. He's just extending what the Tanakama say. Tanakama say only metal kelim. Rabbi Yosi says no. Even the kelim from these two places, from the Kfar Shichin and Kfar Chananya. But other kelim that are prone to crack, Rabbi Yosi says you're not allowed to. So in Rabbi Yosi we don't have such a contradiction, but in the Tanakama we have actually a contradiction in what they hold. But the Gemara is not focusing now on the contradiction. The Gemara is asking, Ipcha Shaminon, that who is more machmir, who's more makel, seems to be the opposite in this brisa over the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, V'chi teima epach masnisen, I've gone easy way around. I'll turn round the Mishnah. I'll say the Tanakama is Rabbi Yosi, and it's going to be Rabbi Yosi who says that you can use any kelim, and that's the more lenient. That's going to be the more lenient opinion, and then the Tana, the end of our Mishnah that says that you're not allowed to use the old kelim that might crack, that's going to be the Tanakama, that's going to be the Chachomim. And if we do that, then in both cases we'll have the Tanakama being machmir, and Rabbi Yosi being not Tanakama, we'll have Chachomim being machmir, and Rabbi Yosi being makel. Because we're going to call the Tanakam in the Mishnah Rabbi Yosi, and we're going to call the second opinion in the Mishnah, we're going to call them Chachomim. V'chitei me'epech masnisin, v'Rabbi Yosi de Braisa, l'devreim ko'omar. And besides for just turning around the names, which will mean that in both cases, Rabbi Yosi is more makel, but in order there shouldn't be one big contradiction here, we're going to explain as follows. Rabbi Yosi in the Braisa is not talking about his own opinion. He's talking about the Chachomim's opinion. And then it would read as follows. The first opinion in the Mishnah which is the more lenient one we said was Rabbi Yossi, that says you can use any kelim even if they're going to crack. The second opinion in the Mishnah that we've now said is the Chachamim. They say you're not allowed to use those kelim that are prone to crack, and therefore you're not allowed to use the earthenware kelim that are going to crack. That's going to be the Chachamim in our Mishnah. The Braisa, the Chachamim in our Mishnah are going to conform with the Chachamim. The Chachamim and the Braisa are going to conform with the Chachamim in the Mishnah. And the same way as the Chachamim in the Mishnah, after we turn the Mishnah around, hold you're not allowed to do Gram Kibui, so too at the beginning of the Braisa they say you're not allowed to do Gram Kibui, even though in the Mishnah, the Chachamim in the Mishnah, if we turn it around, say you're allowed to use any kelim besides for new earthenware ones, and the Chachamim in the Braisa here hold that you're only allowed to use metal ones. Tosfos discusses that and says that it's not only metal. It means any kelim that we know definitely that are not going to crack. And then Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa is actually responding to the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yossi means to say, I myself hold Gram Kibui is mutter. You Chachamim hold that Gram Kibui is osur, and only kelim that are as strong as metal kelim you can use. At least agree with me that the kelim that are made in Kfar Shichim and Kfar Hananya, there's no risk that they're going to crack. They should also be included in the bracket of the metal kelim that you allow. And then the whole Braisa is following the opinion of the Chachamim that Gram Kibui is Osur, and that's the second opinion in our Mishnah that we learnt on Amud Aleph. And even though in the Mishnah it's Rabbi Yossi who says Gram Kibui is Osur, we'll turn the Mishnah around and say that that's actually the Chachamim, and Rabbi Yossi is the Tanakam in the Mishnah. So that's what the Gemara is suggesting here. Says the Gemara, if so, Umimotis Obchusle, can you turn it over? Can you actually assume that the Chachomim hold that Gram Kibui is Osur and Rabbi Yossi is the one that's going to hold Gram Kibui is Mutter? V'omar Rabbi Bar Tachlifa Mishmei D'Rav, it was said explicitly in the name of Rav, Man Tana Gram Kibui Osur, who holds that Gram Kibui is Osur? Rabbi Yossi. It's Rabbi Yossi says Gram Kibui is Osur. If so, it must be Rabbi Yossi who's the second opinion in the Mishnah, not the first opinion. If so, we come back to a problem. How are we going to learn our Braisa? Here in our Braisa, Rabbi Yossi says that you're allowed to... Rabbi Yossi is more makel than the Chachomim, and not like the Mishnah that says that Rabbi Yossi is the more machmer than the Chachomim. And also we're going to have a contradiction in the Chachomim. The Chachomim in the Mishnah say Gram Kibui is Mutter. The Tanakama here say Gram Kibui is Osur. Elo la'olam lo teipach, we're not going to turn it over. And the questions are going to come back. Ubraisa kulo Rabbi Yossi. V'chisure mechsura. This whole Braisa is actually just Rabbi Yossi, not the Chachomim. Rabbi Yossi says Gram Kibui is Osur, like we saw in the Mishnah. This whole Braisa we learned here is all Rabbi Yossi, and this is how we have to read into the Braisa. Oysin mechitza bekelim reikonim ubemeleim she'ein darkon neishtabir. You're allowed to make a mechitza, a partition, with any kelim that you know are not going to break. Ve'elu en kelim she'ein darkon neishtabir, and which kelim can you assume are not going to crack? Klimatchus, they are the metal kelim. Ukli kfar shichin, ukli kfar chananya. Nami ein darkon neishtabir. And even the kelim of Kli, those made in Kfar Hananya and Kfar Shichin, are also not going to crack. Sheh Rabbi Yossi Omer, and the reason that you're only allowed to use kelim that are not going to crack is because Rabbi Yossi holds Af Kli Kfar Shichin or Kli Kfar Hananya ein darkon lishavir. And the reason that we're saying that is because Rabbi Yossi holds that means the reason that you're allowed to use the kelim from Kli Shichin, from Kfar Shichin and Kfar Hanani is because Rabbi Yossi holds that they're not going to crack. And since they're not going to crack, you're allowed to use them. If they are going to crack, or if they could crack, you're not allowed to use them because Rabbi Yossi holds Gram Kibui is Osur. So at this point in the sugya, the Chachomim hold Gram Kibui is Mutter, and Rabbi Yossi holds Gram Kibui is Osur. I have a contradiction in the Chachomim and a contradiction in Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya we learnt in a Braisa. Harei shehoya shem kosuv lo el basori. If somebody has a name written in ink on his flesh, and he wants to go to the mikveh. If he became tomei, and there's a mitzvah that somebody who's tomei should become toyer. He wants to go to the mikveh, but if he goes into the mikveh, he's going to rub out Hashem's name. He's not allowed to wash. He shouldn't oint anything on it. He's not allowed to stand in a filthy place with the name exposed. Like, you're not allowed to expose Dvarim Shebekdusha, Hashem's name, in those places. What happens if he became Tomei min ha-Torah and now he's got a mitzvah to become Tohir? How's he going to go to the mikveh? So says the Braisa, Koirich Oleo Gemi. He should wrap round it, covering Hashem's name, a reed grass, v'yered litvel, and he should go and tovel. And at this point, we assume that covering over the name with this gemi is going to make that it doesn't. It's going to prevent it from rubbing out. And even though going into the mikveh, you're not actively rubbing out, it's just going to cause it to get rubbed out. Gram mechikas Hashem is osur, and therefore you have to put on it a gemi to make sure it doesn't rub out. So here you see the Chachomim hold that gram, that goyrim of a melach, of not melach, of an issa, goyrim of an issa, is which is mechikas Hashem, rubbing out Hashem's name, is osur. And we saw it in our sugya that it's the Chachomim who hold that being goyrim, kibui on Shabbos, extinguishing on Shabbos, the Chacham says mutter. Rabbi Yossi there argues and says, la'olam yered v'tovel kadarko, you can go into the mikveh just as you normally would. Or belvad shelo yishafshef, you shouldn't actively rub the name, because then you're actively rubbing out the name of Hashem. But to go into the mikveh, it's just a gram mechikas Hashem, since it's just a geirim, a cause, it's mutter. This seems to contradict Rabbi Yossi we've learned till now, that says that gram kibui is osur. Says the Gemara, Shan Yehosom de Omar Kro, Vavadetem es Shemom in Amokim Ahu, Loisason came la Shem Elokeichem. We're not now discussing how to answer the contradiction in the Chachomim. We're going to start with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah says, in our Sugya says, Gram Kibui is Osur. And over there, when it comes to Mechikas Hashem, we see that Rabbi Yossi holds, you can go in Toivel. Gram mechikas Hashem is mutter. Says the Rebbe, yes, I've got an explicit posuk, and the posuk says that vavaditem es shemom, you should obliterate the name of those of the Roshoim from that place, u'amokim ahu, lo'isasun kein Hashem elokeichem. Don't do that to Hashem, don't obliterate, don't rub out Hashem's name. The term used is tasun, the issa of rubbing out Hashem's name is an activity. It's only also if you actively do it. Gram ashori, if you just cause it, it's muta. Other melachos that are also to do, even groma is also. Over here with mechikas Hashem, I have a posuk that says it's only also if you do it actively, therefore he says it's muta. Says the Gemara, ihochi, if so, if you're learning out from a posuk that tasun, doing an activity, means that groma is mutter, let's get back to groma of kibui. Doing a melacha on Shabbos. What does it say in the pasuk by Shabbos? Hochanami, regarding chilul Shabbos, it says, "Ksiv lo yisasekol melacha." You're not allowed to do a melacha. So you see from there, asiyahu da'asa grom ashari. So why do you say I'm not allowed to use those barrels that are going to crack and extinguish the flame? Because gram kibui is asur. It says it's only asur if to do the melacha actively. Here it's only a groma. Says the Gemara, no. The truth is that groma is always muta. Also mechikas Hashem, and also melacha of Shabbos, gram is muta. If so, why does Rabbi Yossi say you're not allowed to use those earthenware kelim that are going to burst and extinguish the fire? Because a person is worried and is in turmoil over his home and his possessions that are burning down, ishorisle, if you're going to allow him to put up that partition and try and save whatever's on the other side of it, osili chibuye, he might forget it's Shabbos, and he's going to actively extinguish the fire. And that was a decree they made because of Odom Bohul al Mamoinoi, that they didn't allow him to do it. But in and of itself, groma would be muta. Ask the Gemara, Ihacha kashi derabonon adarabonon. And the truth is, it was always a contradiction in the Chachomim, as we've said all along, that the Chachomim contradict themselves whether groma is muta or groma is osa. And here the Gemara adds on that here there's an added issue, making the question even worse. In our Mishnah, the Mishnah Amud Aleph, talking about gram kibui, there the Chachomim say it's muta. They say you're allowed to use any kelim. Over here, when it comes to Mechikas Hashem, we say that the Chachomim say it's osa. Says the Gemara, Yehocha kashu d'rabonon ad rabonon, uma hosom, if over there in the case of kibui, of extinguishing, in the Mishnah, that a person is very worried about his possessions, and nonetheless, shori, the Chachomim say you're allowed to do groma, hocha over here by Mechikas Hashem, loy kolshkein, it should go without saying that you should be allowed to go into the mikveh normally. Why do the Chachomim need you to cover it over with a gemi? Says the Gemara, Betisbara, let's try and understand what's happening here with this gemi. What is this reed grass doing to the shem? Hai gemi, hei chadomi. What case is it? Ida mehadek, if it's very firmly attached to the skin, Ida mehadek kohavi chatzitza, then the gemi itself is a chatzitza. We know that going into the mikveh, there mustn't be anything separating the flesh from the water. If you have this grass firmly attached to the skin and the water cannot penetrate underneath it, it's a chatzitza. In loy mehadek, if it's not firmly attached, aile beimaya, water is going to go under it. So this gemi, what point is that? How is it going to help you do your tvila? Says the Gemara, chatzitza, typically mishum joy. The Gemara says, if you're talking about chatzitza, then let's leave the gemi. The very fact is ink with Hashem's name on the ink, on your flesh, that itself should serve as a chatzitza and should make that you can't have a valid tvila. And since we're not worried about that, because it's just a very small area, then so too, we're not worried about the chatzitza of the gemi. Says the Gemara, no. You cannot prove to me that we're not worried about chatzitza because it's just a small area. No, the reason we're not worried about the ink itself is belacho. It's talking about the ink is still moist. And it allows the water to penetrate between the ink and the flesh. The Tanya, we learnt in the Braisa, Hadom, blood, v'dyoy, and ink, dvash, honey, v'cholov, and milk, yaveshim, if they are dry and they are on the attached to the skin, the flesh of a person, choytetzin, then they serve as a chatzitza. Lachim, if they are moist, ain choytetzin. So they're not choytetz. So we're not worrying now about the ink. That's not a chatzitza. So now we have to understand what's the reed grass helping you. If it's firmly attached, that will be a chatzitza. And if it's not firmly attached, then what have you gained? Mikol mokim kasha. It's a problem. According to Chachomim, what's the gemi helping you? Ela omar Rav Barav Shila. Rav Barav Shila says the truth is, Hainu tamayu derabonon, de kosovra osur lamuid bifnei Hashem orum. The problem is not groma. As far as the groma is concerned, if it gets rubbed out, it gets rubbed out. Why do I need the gemi? Not to stop it rubbing out in the same way as the Chachomim hold that gram kibui is muta, so too gram mechikas Hashem is muta. The reason that you need the gemi is because since it's Hashem's name, you're not allowed to face Hashem's name when you're not dressed appropriately. Since you're going into the mikveh, you're clearly not dressed appropriately enough to stand in front of Hashem's name. So you have to cover over Hashem's name. Says the Gemara, Michlal, can we deduce from here the Rabbi Yossi Sovar Mutalam with Bifnei Hashem Orum? Because Rabbi Yossi says you don't need the Gemi. Well, how are you standing dressed like that, or not dressed like that, in front of Hashem's name? Says the Gemara, the Monach Yodei Levi. Rabbi Yossi is talking about, or he demands, you don't need a Gemi on it, but at least you have to put your hand over it. You have to cover Hashem's name. Says the Gemara, L'Rabbonon Nami, the Monach Yodei Levi. According to the Chachomim, why is it not sufficient to just put your hand over it loosely and go into the mikveh like that? Why do you need the gemi? Says the Gemara, Dimnin de mishtak de mishtali v'shokle. You're going to forget and you're going to remove your hand from it. And then Hashem's name will be exposed. And therefore you need the gemi. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, Nami zimnin de mishtali v'shokle. According to Rabbi Yossi, you should also need the gemi because you might by mistake expose the Hashem's name. Elo, says the Gemara, you're right. You have to have lekatchila. You should have a gemi in order not to expose Hashem's name. De'ika gemi hochanami. Everyone agrees. If you have a gemi available, you should put it on. If you don't have the gemi available, then the question is, is covering it enough, or do we say no? You might uncover it. Go look for a gemi. So hachab mayoskinon lahadure a gemi. The question is, if I haven't got a gemi, do we say don't go to the mikvah and wait for it until you find a gemi, or do we say no, cover it over, try not to forget, and go into the mikvah? Rabbonon sovereign, Rabbonon hold, tvila bizmano lav mitzvah. The Rabbonon hold, there's no mitzvah to go to the mikvah at the first opportunity. And therefore, umadrinon, go find a gemi. Rabbi Yossi sovereign, Rabbi Yossi holds, tvila bizmano mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to go to the mikvah at the first opportunity. And going to look for a gemi may mean you're going to delay the tvila to the next day. And there's a mitzvah to tovel at the first opportunity, and therefore Rabbi Yossi does not require this person to run after a gemi. Says the Gemara of a Sover, Rabbi Yossi tvila bizman a mitzvah. Does Rabbi Yossi really hold that there's a mitzvah to go into the mikvah at the first opportunity? V'otanya, we learnt in a brisa, and this is a brisa regarding Yom Kippur. We know that on Yom Kippur, a person is not allowed to bathe, he's not allowed to wash himself for pleasure. However, if he's got a mitzvah to toivel, and this does not apply nowadays for different reasons, most of these tumeis don't apply nowadays. This is not halacha lemaisa, but for us. But either way, for somebody who min haTorah became tumei, and the time that he could go to mikvah was either on Yom Kippur night or Yom Kippur day, we'll soon see, depending what type of tumei it was, then is he allowed to go into the mikveh just because there's a mitzvah to go at the first opportunity on Yom Kippur? Or do we say no? You don't need to go now. It's Yom Kippur. Wait till after Yom Kippur. And the Braisa says as follows: Hazov v'azova hamatzira v'amatziras boil nido v'tomei meis. These six types of tumeis tvilason bayom, on the seventh day from when they became tomei, on the seventh day. Day or the seventh day of Nikiyim, according to the rules that each one has their own set of rules. On the seventh day, on the day, one's allowed to go to mikvah, and this is learned from Psukim that even though you need 7 whole days, you need 7 days. Miktsas yom kakula, just part of the day is counted a day. You go to mikvah in the day. Nida v'yoledes, the two tumeim, one called nida, one called yoledes, tvilason balayla. When they become tohir, they only go to mikvah the night after the end of the days of counting. Balkeri, a balkeri that there's a mitzvah midrabbonon that, or there's an issa derabbonon to daven or to learn in a state of balkeri, then tovel v'hoylich kol hayom kulo. So, and let's remember, this is on Yom Kippur. So zov zov matzira matziras boil nidah tomi meis. They can tovel on Yom Kippur day, because it's a mitzvah to tovel at the first opportunity. Nida v'yeledes is allowed to tovel on the night of Yom Kippur. A balkeri can tovel any time in the day he wants. He became tomei. He shouldn't really daven in that state. He's not allowed to daven in that state. He should go to mikvah. Whenever he became tomei, he should go to the mikvah. Rabbi Yossi says, no. Min amincho lemailo einoi tzorich litvil. If he became tomei after he's davened mincha, he shouldn't go to the mikveh. If he became tomei before he davened ma'ariv on Yom Kippur night, he should go to mikveh so he can daven ma'ariv. If he became tomei before shachris, he should go to mikveh, daven shachris. Before musaf, before mincha, then he should go now, not because of tefillah bizmano, but because you want to daven, and you're not allowed to daven like that. So you have good reason to go. But if it's after mincha time, there's no more tefillahs now that you need on Yom Kippur. So if he would hold there's a mitzvah to tovel at the first opportunity, he would go now. But if there's no mitzvah to tovel at the first opportunity, you only tovel if you need to tovel now. He doesn't need to tovel. And Rashi explains that this braisa holds that ne'ila can be davened after nacht. So after the end of Yom Kippur, he davens ne'ila. So if he became tomei after mincha, he should not go to mikvah, says Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi oimer min amincho lemailo einoi tzorich litvil. So you see, Rabbi Yossi holds that tefillah bizmano lav mitzvah. And that contradicts our explanation that the reason Rabbi Yossi says that you do not need to look for a gemi is because tefillah bizmano mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Hahi Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda hu, hi do'omar dayo tefillah ba'achroino. The truth is, Rabbi Yossi himself holds tefillah bizmano mitzvah. And that's why you do not need to look for the gemi if you may risk missing the right time of tefillah. However, in this braisa that Rabbi Yossi says that a balkeri should not toivel on after mincha on Yom Kippur, that's following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. Or it is the opinion, it's not the Rabbi Yossi mentioned here before, it's a Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, it's a different Rabbi Yossi, and he holds that there's no mitzvah, tefillah b'zmana is not mitzvah. And we're not going to go into exactly what Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda holds, but just in a nutshell, there are some cases where it's very unclear when a woman can become tohir after birth. And there are some times where, because she forgot her calculations, there could be 35 different times that she could need to go to the mikvah. Some of them in the day, some of them in the night, but they are a period of approximately 3 weeks. And within those 3 weeks, she could have to go to the mikvah on any one of 35 days or nights. So there's one opinion says, yeah, go to mikvah 35 times. Tefillah b'zman or mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says no. He says in any case, she doesn't know indefinitely that she's tohir until the end, till the 35th time. And therefore he says, daya tefillah b'achreina, wait till right the end. And that's when you'll finally become tohir again, on a definite way. And you don't need to toivel all the days or nights in between. So if we would hold tefillah b'zman or mitzvah, is a mitzvah to toivel at the first opportunity, then any one of those 35 days or nights, might be a mitzvah to toivel. Toivel on all of them. But if you hold tefillah b'zman or lav mitzvah, and you only toivel when you can, when you need to, then wait till the last opportunity. So since we see there that Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda holds tefillah b'zman or lav mitzvah, that's the opinion that says that on Yom Kippur, Baal Keri should not go to the mikvah after Mincha. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.